You are listening to the Hour of the Time, and I'm still William Cooper, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, we gave you the wrong address last night for NASA. Actually, it's not the wrong address, it's just the wrong place. It's one of their addresses. This is the correct address for the NASA headquarters, where all the administrators are and the big muckety-muck Mr. Golden is. And this is where you need to send your rock. And what I'd like everybody to do, this is what you should be doing, you should be calling every radio talk show and writing letters to every newspaper protesting this phony life on Mars bullshit. Give this address for NASA and suggest that everybody send a rock to NASA. Let's make this a nationwide effort. Let's do this all across the country. Let's send all of our rocks to NASA. If you've got a farm and you've got a rock problem and you're breaking your plow bits and all of that kind of stuff, send your rocks to NASA. Now, I know rocks are heavy and I know it may be expensive, and if you don't have much money, send a little rock to NASA. You know? In fact, send the whole state of Arkansas to NASA if you want to. But let's do this. Now, everybody write this down, okay? I know you're all scurrying around for a pen or pencil. So I'm going to say this one more time while you're getting your pens and pencils and your pieces of paper. And let's do this. Let's all send a rock to NASA. I'm working on my rock right now. I'm decorating it and everything. I'm going to label the package Fragile, Life Inside, Space Travelers, Do Not Squish, Do Not Scan, all that kind of stuff. It's really going to be a lot of fun. And Pooh's going to help me paint the rock and design it and all. You know, if you've got a family and you got children, this could really be a lot of fun. And in fact, we can send a lot of rocks to NASA. We can make this a weekly project. Every once a week, we all sit down and fix up a rock and send it to NASA. So, and you should be calling all the radio talk shows all across the country. So let's get this going. Send a rock to NASA. Everybody send a rock to NASA, and, you know, let's bury those slobs. By golly, they've been lying to us for years. Let's just, let's give them something to do besides lie. Here's the real address. It's NASA, N-A-S-A, 2101. NASA Road 1. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. 2101 NASA Road 1. Houston, Texas. Yeehaw! Houston, Texas, 77058. Here's the address once again. NASA 2101 NASA Road 1. Houston, Texas. 77058. Okay, I'm going to repeat this at some time during the program, but here's one more time for right now. If you didn't get it all, hold on to your pen and paper. I'll repeat it later in the broadcast. NASA, N-A-S-A, 2101, NASA Road 1, Houston, Texas, 77058. It's still all over the broadcasting, the communist news networks, the Allied Broadcasting Communists, the National Broadcasting Communists, the Communist Broadcasting System, the Communist News Network. They're all going crazy with this. They've all decided that life exists on Mars, and it's the most significant event in human history, and there are eminent scientists and important people on television now telling us how, because this life came from Mars, millions and billions of years ago, that life really came here from Mars. It didn't start on Earth. It started on Mars. And we are all descended from this material that came from Mars, and we are really the Martians. Oh, brother. It's running deep. I mean, it's really running deep, guys. It is. You got to watch out. If you're short, you're going to drown in the bullshit. Because it's getting deep and deeper and deeper. Send a rock to NASA. Go around, look around. You'll find one that came from Mars. I know you will, because Pooh and I found three of them today. We found three rocks that came from Mars. We're going to send them all to NASA. And I know if you look hard, you can find it too. If you look on the bottom, it says, made in Mars. It's real easy. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, you can have a lot of fun with your children looking for rocks from Mars. We have a lot of rocks in Arizona. In fact, you know, we have a meteor crater not far from here that's probably almost as big as Mars. And at least it looks, you know, if you compare Mars in the sky with a meteor crater, it's a lot bigger than Mars. And there's lots of rocks all around there. They all must have come from Mars. I mean, they had to have. They all say made in Mars on the bottom. So anyway, stick around. I got a lot of stuff to tell you. Some of it you're going to like. Some of it you're not going to like. All of it's informative and will educate you. In fact, you probably won't like most of it.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag is a pledge to the ideals of our forefathers, the men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States, and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the four great freedoms cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that I have to tell you is that I have decided today, after monitoring the different stations that I've been offered, and talking with the people who run those networks and stations, that I am definitely, absolutely leaving WWCR. It is no longer a maybe. It is absolute. It is positive. So you can stop writing your letters and stop calling. I will not stay with WWCR under any circumstances. You see, I sat down and I thought about what I'm doing here. And I realized that I should not even be trying to stay on WWCR. And there's a good reason for that. During the last 4 years, ladies and gentlemen, I have repeatedly asked, pleaded to be placed in a earlier time slot, not for my benefit, because here in Arizona, whether it's summer or winter, we never change our time. It's not late for me. It really isn't. But it's terribly late for the people on the East Coast, and it is late for some of the people in the Central Time Zone. And so I was trying to get an earlier time slot for those people. Didn't make any difference to me. But for those people, it makes a big difference. And for the East Coast, it makes a tremendous difference for people who have to get up and work the next day. It is a tremendous hardship to try to listen to a broadcast that comes on at midnight and doesn't end until 1 a.m. I was repeatedly assured that if an earlier time slot came up on any of the three frequencies that they had, I would be the first one that they would call. I also asked specifically that if Tom Valentine ever left the air, that I would like to have his 2 hours in his time slot. And I never wished that he would leave the air. I believe in free speech. I've never wished that on anybody and never would, no matter who they are. But just in case, I put my bid in. And I was told that if Tom Valentine ever decided to retire or leave the air or go somewhere else, that I would be the first one they would call to fill that time slot. I was told this repeatedly over and over and over again. And sitting and thinking about this today, ladies and gentlemen, I suddenly realized that over those 4 years, they had plenty of earlier time slots open up on all of these three different frequencies, and not one single time was I ever offered any of those time slots, which means from the beginning they were not telling me the truth. And I don't think that it was intentional on some of their parts. For instance, Adam Locke is probably the best person, in my estimation, who works at WWCR. He bends over backwards to help people. He has always done anything that I needed that would help my broadcast or that would help me interface with WWCR. And all of the other people, except for some of the part-time late shift people on the board who they had problems with over the 4 years, going to sleep on the job and therefore not being able to do what they were supposed to do. Other than that, I have had no problems with WWCR or any of the personnel there except for the top management, beginning with George McClintock, who seems to believe that the purpose of his position is to make it as hard on the people who are paying him money to broadcast as possible. Just attempting to have an ordinary conversation with George McClintock is impossible. The man is a raving lunatic, in my estimation. And it was George McClintock who, when I discovered Tom Valentine had decided to retire, told me that all of the promises for those 4 years meant nothing, and that under no circumstances could I have that time slot. And that's what prompted everything that followed. I don't want to play the game with WWCR or with George McClintock. I have the largest shortwave audience, bar none. If they don't care about that, if they don't care about all the premium top dollar money that I've paid, or that Swiss America Trading has paid, if you want to be honest about it, to them to air this broadcast, if they don't care about any of that, if they don't care about how I've really awakened people, how I've made shortwave a re-emerging media. Nobody ever heard of shortwave before except a small handful of people. You know what made shortwave a big media event? It's the broadcast of the hour of the time. It was the controversy that Linda Thompson and the hour of the time, William Cooper, brought to shortwave radio. It was Rush Limbaugh reading on his broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, a White House memo naming me, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio talk show host in America. You see, Rush is a chicken heart. He likes to take credit for for being the biggest proponent of conservatism and all that stuff. Well, old Rush is a pussycat. He really isn't. And the reason he read that White House memo is because he didn't want anybody to think that the press and the president and the government were angry at him because of all of the attacks against so-called, quote, right-wing, end quote, radio. So before I leave the air with WWCR, I've given them 30 days notice, and I will honor my commitment for that 30 days. But I will begin broadcasting on my new spot before that 30 days. In fact, I will begin broadcasting in my new spot 1 week from Monday, ladies and gentlemen. So I will be concurrently broadcasting on WWCR and on my new media for the last couple of weeks of August. And beginning of September, I will leave WWCR until such time as, and I don't know if I'll ever come back, but if they decide to change their management and do right by their broadcasters, I would not rule that out at some time in the future. But in the meantime, I'll be going to a network, and I will be on many stations, including shortwave, including satellite, and possibly two satellites. So, and guess what, folks? Not for one penny more than what I'm paying WWCR to give me the runaround for 4 years. So you're not going to miss out. All of those of you who listen to shortwave, you're going to hear me on shortwave. Those of you who listen on satellite, you're going to hear me on satellite. And a lot of people who have never heard this broadcast before in their entire lives are going to hear this broadcast on AM stations across the country. So in a way, this is a big victory. We're not going to pay any more money, but we're going to get a much bigger audience. And I've monitored all of the stations across the country through my people. They're loud and clear, including shortwave. The satellite is good. Everything is just absolutely hunky-dory. And I'm looking forward to it. In fact, it's given me a lift. I really feel a lot better about doing this. I've got to tell you that right now. I don't think WWCR is going to feel very good about it, but WWCR asked for it, all except, you know, and I'm talking about the management. The normal people who work there have not asked for it. They have been good people. And Adam Locke has become a dear friend. I really like him an awful lot. He has done an awful lot to help my broadcast over these last 4 years, and he's just really been a wonderful fellow. But the upper management of WWCR, in my estimation, somebody threw a skunk in the window, and nobody has had the guts to throw it out yet. So there you have it. And after this broadcast, don't be surprised if you don't hear me on WWCR on Monday night. But, you know, folks, I really don't care. All you get on this broadcast is the truth, nothing but the truth. And that's all you're ever going to get. The next thing I've got to tell you is a couple of weeks ago, I gave you a report that came from Pat Shannon on the Freeman trial. And remember I told you that if something was wrong with this report. It didn't smell right, and it went totally contrary to the whole history, or at least the modern history, of the so-called judicial system, because there's nothing judicial about it. And I was right. We did an investigation, and we found out, ladies and gentlemen, that there was no common law grand jury convened. It was a preliminary hearing. It was not a common law grand jury. And the Freemen were not acquitted, and they're not going to be freed. It was just a preliminary hearing. I don't know why the judge did what he did, and we found out that he didn't do everything that Pat Shannon said that he did. So, you know, it's like I told you, it didn't sound right. And it was totally contrary to the normal activities of the so-called judicial system and the Justice Department. And it was. And that's why I told you not to believe it until it was checked out. Remember, I told you to be very cautious about that report. Well, it was a preliminary hearing. Nobody was acquitted. Nobody was found innocent. Nobody's charges were removed. And nobody was freed. So Pat Shannon's reports from now on are persona non grata on this broadcast. Any reports that Pat Shannon submits to us from here on out will be thrown in file 13. That's the round one next to the toilet. And I got a letter here. It says August. It actually, it's a fax. It was sent to me in the fax. August 6, 1996. Dear Mr. Cooper, listen to this, folks. He says, I see you're starting to come around. You must have done some homework since our last letter. Now, knowing jurisdiction in admiralty courts, this Dave and Charles Miller takes a U.S. flag into the court, cites some USCC codes for many other, looks like technology formalities, at which time the judge will take down the admiralty flag and will put up a regular U.S. flag and sometimes even removes his Halloween costume, and a real common law court will begin. And like most of these people, didn't sign his name. But whoever you are, listen very carefully to the next word out of my mouth. Bullshit. As far as doing some homework or coming around, I was the first broadcaster to air Points in Law, in Common Law, and the Real Law, and document what's really going on. You, my dear sir, look just exactly like our sheeple cartoon in Veritas newspaper. You still got your head in the orifice, if you know what I mean. And we did an article in Veritas on a man named Daniel Spiegelman, who was being held in the Netherlands for trying to sell stolen historical documents. And in that article, we said that he could possibly be linked with the Oklahoma City bombing, and that our sources within the Federal Bureau of Investigation had even told us that he could be John Doe number two. Very possibility. And so we were proven right once again, ladies and gentlemen, as this was just recently announced. Daniel Spiegelman is to be extradited from the Netherlands to the United States. The American Embassy in Belgium links him to the Oklahoma City bombing. He was, as you recall, in jail in Holland for dealing in stolen manuscripts. That's all we know about that right now. We know that, well, we'll save that for Volume 2 of Oklahoma City, which is Oklahoma City, the Aftermath, and we'll keep you apprised of the situation as it develops. Spiegelman, ladies and gentlemen, does resemble the artist's sketch made from descriptions given by the Chinese food deliverer in Kansas who delivered the food to the motel, but the resemblance is still questionable because of the crummy photo available through the Netherlands press, which is the best that we could get. So, that's that. Now, let me see if I can get some of this paper organized here so that I can do this much better. I've got to read you something here that I think is just absolutely dynamite. And also, I need you guys to write me and tell me how this new microphone sounds to you. I got a communication from one person said he didn't like it. And I can't figure that out because it sounds just wonderful. Sounds great to me. I've got to read this to you. It's from my friend Dave Delaney. And he runs a little organization called the Freedom House, publishes a little newsletter, which I've recommended to you before. I've read from his Freedom House before. So anyway, I have to read this because I think it's wonderful. I really like it an awful lot. And if you're on my list on the internet and you're wondering why I'm not there, we changed our banks. And when we changed our banks for the trust, we had to change the billing for CompuServe. And somehow that's even though we did it right on our end, CompuServe has just got me locked out of all my mail. I was able to get some of it for a while. Now I can't get any of it. But I'll get it straightened out, and I'm just going to have to erase everything. Because right now, there are so many messages, so much email stacked up in my mailbox that it would take me 6 months to go through it and even hope to deal with any messages that are being sent now or in the future. So anyway, this was sent to me by fax by Michelle Moore, who is monitoring the list, and she is making sure, along with a couple of other people who are on the list, that I do get the important messages that are on the list by fax. This is called the Battle Hymn of the Republic. As a youngster, I really enjoyed the monthly dose of my most unforgettable character as it appeared in Reader's Digest. Remembering none of the individual stories, the collective persona is still clear. There were certain traits that the memory of the stories all held. They were rough around the edges, sometimes an illiterate immigrant, or an angry, depressed neighbor, or a father in poverty, or in his cups, sometimes even a hobo or a bag lady. Common folk, yet all of them were in many ways uncommon. And most of them were heroes. There is a distinctiveness about the American folk hero. The American folk hero has a name, even when he remains nameless. The American folk hero lived, and that fact can generally be supported by a birth record or a tintype or perhaps a speech he gave. Daniel Boone, Mike Fink, Roaring Ralph Stackpole, Calamity Jane, Annie Oakley, Johnny Appleseed, remember him, and of course Davy Crockett. Uncommon, common heroes. Little rush acts there, folks. Colonel Crockett's, that's Davy Crockett, for those of you who may not know that he was a colonel, and he was a colonel in the militia. How many of you knew that? Colonel Crockett's famous speech in Congress holds no record for length. Quote, "I'm that same David Crockett, fresh from the backwoods, half horse, half alligator, and a little touched with a snapping turtle. Can wade the Mississippi, leap the Ohio, ride upon a streak of lightning, and slip without a scratch down a honey locust. Can whip my weight in wildcats, and if any gentleman pleases, for a $10 bill, he may throw in a panther. Hug a bear too close for comfort, and eat any man opposed to Jackson." End quote. Carefully couched in those gentle words, one can find an endorsement for the policies of Jackson. And for those of you who may not know who Jackson is, it's Andrew Jackson, not Jesse Jackson. Most of our American heroes were not bigger than life, even though their lives seemed too big. There are a few myths that showed up, but typically the size and fabric of our vistas as we pushed our tyrants off the shore, then pushed our horizons west, called for men and women who simply had to be as big as life gets. That is how they survived, and that is how they died. When we do find a demigod like Paul Bunyan, it is because the realm of his existence called for a role of hero that just a man could not fulfill. Just a man could not cut and haul that much wood so fast and so far. But it was just men, of course, and many of them. You see, Paul Bunyan stood for all of the lumberjacks. The fact is, the enormous need for building materials was met. And if it cannot be explained by the clumps of common men, then it is only natural to create an uncommon man. Somehow the work was getting done. It was getting done by the uncommon common man. Excuse the commotion, you big blue ox, but get out of the way. There's work to be done. When out west meant across the Mississippi, a need arose for a new sort of hero with a star on his lapel. People were traveling faster than the speed of law, and folks like Tom Smith, Willie Kennard, Wild Bill Hickok, and Wyatt Earp became necessary. Their necessity became their call. Uncommon, common men showed up. And when they settled the scores with lawlessness, it was time to make the West a home, and the railroads rolled. And the door was open for new heroes. Casey Jones at the throttle, Joe Magarek back at the steel mill, and John Henry in between clearing the path. You see, America is a land of heroes, because America is a land of challenges and a land of uncommon, common men and women. Looking through the hero to the message of his tale, there is a verse from the story of John Henry in song that may be the best description of his overall quest and leads to the tune for battle. Yes, I said battle. And I quote, John Henry told his captain, said, in my hand, end quote. And I'm going to read it just one more time so that you get the gist of what it is that it really says, because it's so important. Quote, John Henry told his captain, said, a man ain't nothing but a man. Before I let your steel gang down, I will die with the hammer in my hand. Oh, Lordy, I will die with the hammer in my hand. End quote. You see, he put his life up against the machinery of an age. He was not fighting to kill. He was fighting for his gang to live. You need not be a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, to understand the hero of the battle hymn of the Republic, though you will be hard-pressed to explain him without such faith. The battle hymn is a battle hymn, make no mistake about it. The Christ, if you get it from the Greek, Messiah, if you translate the Hebrew, the appointed is the archetype for the great heroes. Julia Ward Howe wrote the words. They have been changed in many modern hymnals, but she wrote for the final stanza, which remains as it was originally. Quote, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on. End quote. You see, you and I can't die to make men holy. A man ain't nothing but a man. But before I let my gang down, give me a hammer, a sword, or a song. Amen. Signed, Dave Delaney. And I think that's one of the best things that I've read in an awful long time. Thank you, Dave, for writing it. And thank you, Michelle, for sending it on to me from the list. And, I'm getting out of hand here. It's time for a break. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain pride led. capture thrills like that above.
Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song.
Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rock their silent praise the sound of God.
The Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading, who, by the way, doesn't even know about my decision yet to leave WWCR. Craig had actually made a bid to buy the whole 2 hours that Tom Valentine had vacated. So he's going to be a little relieved to know that he doesn't have to do that anymore. Because whoever gets that time slot is going to have to compete with the broadcast that has the biggest shortwave audience that there is in the world today. And that's the Hour of the Time. And I wish them well. And I hope they make it. But I know where most people are going to be. They're going to be listening to this broadcast. So, it's not going to be fun for whoever takes the time slot on WWCR. You see, if you don't have a big audience, you can't pull money for your sponsor. And if you can't pull money for your sponsor, people don't buy the product, you can't stay on the air. That's why I've always encouraged you. And I know it's tough for conservatives. I know it's tough for patriots to actually support their causes with money. because they usually don't do it. But they have with this broadcast. And I think the reason is because you realize the value of documented, sourced information. You realize the value of the truth. You also realize the value of a broadcast and a host who tells you to listen to everyone, read everything, believe no one, not even the host, not even that host, not even me, unless you can prove it in your own right. Nobody else tells you that. They're all telling you to believe them as they feed you more pablum, shovel you more bullshit, and preach their own dogma and their own agendas. The only thing we're interested in here is truth. And that's, as Craig told you himself, out of his own mouth, Craig Smith, the president of Swiss America Trader, that's what he values the most about this broadcast. It is a ministry of freedom. It is a broadcast of truth. And what we care about most is that it is the truth and that nobody believes anything unless they can prove that it is the truth. That's the only way, ladies and gentlemen, you can prevent being hornswoggled, bamboozled, ridden down the garden path while you're wearing the rose-colored glasses, so to speak. You see, that's how we got here, by putting our faith in other people and relying upon their agendas and their judgment and their goodness to take us in the right direction. And one of the biggest lessons that I've taught you is forget that nonsense, throw it right out the window. You don't need any other leader than you. All you need to do is someone to sort of help you get on the right track. And that's what I've tried to do for the last 4 years, over 4 years. And from the looks at it, I've been somewhat successful at that, and I'm very thankful about that. And I'm very thankful for Craig Smith, for his friendship, and for Swiss America Trading. And wherever I decide to go, they'll go right with me. That's just the way it is. So, call Swiss America Trading, ladies and gentlemen. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast. Thank Craig Smith for being loyal to the cause and putting his money where it does the most good. right here in the hour of the time. And he has sponsored other very good patriot and real American radio broadcasts. And for a time, he had his own broadcast, which was a pretty good broadcast while it lasted. But Craig has a family and a business to run, and that got old real quick. But call them. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. Ask them for a current copy of the newsletter, and you'll get red carpet treatment. I guarantee it. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray, for purple mountain majesties.
Forgot to tell the listening audience something that is important for some of you. All of you who have applied for membership in the intelligence service previous to May 15th, all of you who have applied for membership in the intelligence service previous to May the 15th, that's before May 15th of this year, your background checks are in. All of them are with no derogatory information found, which means that you have been approved for membership. What I need from you to hasten things up is a statement of your interests and best capabilities, whatever they are. And don't short yourself. We need all kinds of talent. You know, if what you can do best is chop wood, I can guarantee you, we can find a place for you. So I need all of you who applied for membership previous to May 15th of this year. You have all been approved. Your background checks have come in. No derogatory information found. I need that statement from you in writing. Send it to me immediately so that we can get you assigned where your talents best fit in to the needs of the service. Please do that right away. Also, those of you who applied for membership previous to May 15th, who have been approved, as I have just told you, if you wish to attend the conference that it begins on August the 19th through the 23rd, please call and make that known now. You can attend at membership rates because you are now members. All of you who applied for membership after May 15th of 1996, your background checks have not been completed. You are not yet members. If you wish to attend, you must pay the non-member rate. Sorry, but that's the way it is. But I thought I'd better get that out because I know some of you have been waiting for a long time. Sometimes it takes some of you a long time to get your background check done because of your past affiliations or your employment or the fact that you moved around a lot. But anyway, there's the skinny on that. Now, remember the Vipers? The Vipers in Phoenix who were supposedly arrested because they were planning to blow up all the federal buildings in Phoenix, and I did a show about that. I told you it was a lie, and it was a lie. And and still is a lie. But now the media is beginning to catch on. Some of the media eventually starts to come around and ask the right questions, even though they never really get on the right track. They still sometimes begin to ask the right questions. This comes from the Rutland Daily Herald in the state of Vermont. And was sent in by the Militia of Vermont, Bureau of Intelligence. Case against Vipers, real or political ploy? This appeared July 22, 1996. Phoenix, when federal agents arrested 12 members of the Viper militia 3 weeks ago, their message was clear. The government had rescued Phoenix from a villainous group bent on certain violence. The arrest July 1st had averted a terrible terrorist attack, President Clinton said, of the group's alleged plan to blow up federal buildings around the city. Since then, the discourse has changed entirely. Investigators conceded in court that the group neither posed an imminent threat nor had a specific plot, just like I told you. A judge has released six of the Vipers pending trial, saying they were neither dangerous nor risks for flight, and media reports nationwide are replete with accusations of the government overstating its case. The same question appears and reappears. Are the charges facing the Vipers as severe as the words federal officials used to announce them? While officials in Washington boasted July 1st that agents had thwarted a conspiracy to blow up federal buildings, the indictment drawn up by federal prosecutors in Arizona speaks only of lesser explosives and firearms charges. In announcing the case, exuberant federal officials in Phoenix and Washington repeatedly referred to a videotape they said shows Vipers touring federal buildings in Phoenix and explaining how to destroy them. The indictment, however, neither clearly connects the videotape to the charges nor accuses the group of planning to act on the information in the video. In fact, prosecutors withdrew the videotape from a detention hearing after defense attorneys noted it was made in 1994, before most of the Vipers even knew one another. Theories abound on the case, ranging from suggestions the government thinks a plot did exist but can't prove it, to those who say the Clinton administration exaggerated the case to look tough in an election year. Although the case may not merit the swift comparisons made to last year's bombing of Oklahoma City's federal building, the charges are nonetheless serious. And folks, I got to tell you right now, there is no evidence, no link, no association whatsoever between the Oklahoma City bombing of the Mira Federal Building and any militia in this country. And that's straight from the FBI's mouth. Although the case may not merit, well, I've already read that. All 12 defendants are charged with conspiracy to unlawfully manufacture, receive, and possess destructive devices made with ammonium nitrate. Six are charged with conspiracy to furnish instruction in the use of explosive devices and other techniques in the furtherance of civil disorder. Three face charges of illegally owning a machine gun. Defendants, a machine gun? What happened to the 70 machine guns that the Communist News Network said that they found with these people? 70 machine guns. Remember that, folks? Now it is a machine gun. Do you want to bet it's a semi-automatic rifle? Defendants face penalties ranging from 5 to 35 years in prison and fines of $250,000 to $1.25 million. So while the government may not be able to prove the plot it announced July 1st, some say it has a mountain of evidence to back up the actual charges. They have videotapes, weapons, and an informant. They've got it locked up, said Melvin McDonald, a Phoenix criminal attorney and former U.S. attorney for Arizona. The news conference, that was just something you do. You like the public to know when you do a success story. But since the case was announced, federal and local law enforcement officials have refused to comment. Privately, they say no one wants to touch a political hot potato. And in Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, it is a big, very hot, very political potato. And these guys are going to get voted out of office. Privately, they say no one wants to touch a political hot potato. Well, they've already touched it. They burned their hands. Some former federal prosecutors say the government simply indicted the militia members on the strongest charges they could prove by mentioning the videotape in the indictment. Prosecutors could at least introduce the concept of a bombing plot, said Bill Price, a criminal lawyer in Oklahoma City who served as U.S. Attorney for Western Oklahoma from 1982 to 1989. The charges are unspecific enough that they could go with the lowest level of proof that they had, Price said, or none of this is true. And it's all hyped by the government to look like they're going after terrorists. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth. And that's exactly what's happening up in the state of Washington with those nine people that they just recently arrested. Same thing. They haven't done anything. Period. Facing intense questioning from reporters and defense attorneys, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms head John McGaugh said investigators are caught in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. What if they'd waited to gather more evidence before making arrests? If we'd have done that and one of these houses would have blown up because they mixed the chemicals improperly, you would have said to us, you mean you've known about this for 6 months and didn't do anything about it, McGaugh said. When you look at the materials they had, the equipment they had, the components they had, they could have, at any moment, moved to do things they'd threatened to do. And that's the end of the article. Now, let's look at the materials they had, all legal. Let's look at the equipment they had, all legal. Let's look at the components that they had, all legal. And then he says they could have at any moment moved to do the things they'd threatened to do, but they've already admitted that these people didn't threaten to do anything. They didn't have any plot. They weren't going to do anything. There was no conspiracy to blow up any federal buildings in Phoenix. And so, ultimately, all these guys, ladies and gentlemen, just like all the guys up in Washington State, and most probably Starr and McCraney in Georgia, are going to walk. And none of this is going to do anything to stop terrorism. It is going to do an awful lot to take away your Bill of Rights. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that they've caught the only guy that I've ever heard of who sends mail bombs, the Unabomber? The press isn't interested in the Unabomber or his connections to left-wing terrorist groups that really do exist. They're doing absolutely no reporting on that. Instead, they're going after innocent patriots, Americans, and militia members in order to convince the American people that they're in some kind of danger. And the Post Office Department is implementing on August the 15th a new rule. You cannot mail any package that weighs over 1 pound, that's 16 ounces. In fact, if it's 16 ounces, if the package weighs 16 ounces, you must personally take it to the post office. You must have your identification shown, and they're going to write all that down, and then they're going to mail your package. But they may ask you to open it up so that they can examine it and look at it. Now, what's that all about, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think they mailed that Ryder truck to the Oklahoma City Alfred P. Mura Federal Building, do you? I don't think that that pipe bomb was mailed to the park in Atlanta. Do you? I don't think any of these guys that they've arrested on all these phony charges were planning to mail bombs anywhere. At least that isn't in any of the charges. And the only one who was mailing any kind of bombs at all, the Unabomber, is safely in custody. And the press is ignoring him, and they're ignoring his connections to left-wing terrorist organizations which he may have been associated with, and also the connection to Al Gore and his book. Isn't it amazing? Yes, they're going to make an entire nation carry every package that they're going to mail beginning August the 15th down to the post office to identify yourself and so that they can inspect the package before it's put into the mail. I think the Postmaster General has overstepped his bounds. And I think we'd better start a letter campaign to the Postmaster General to tell him that it ain't Hitler time yet. and his name ain't Hitler. You see, folks, we're quickly reaching the stage that if Jesus Christ himself were to stand up today, he'd be gunned down cold by law enforcement. They wouldn't even take the time to arrest him and try him and hang him on a cross. The same for the Prophet Muhammad. If he were to reappear today, he would be put in a straitjacket and hauled off to a mental institution. Buddha, he'd never make it to his tree to sit down to figure out the perfect way to lead one's life. And all you people who think Buddha's a bad person or some god for the Orientals, he's not. Buddha was simply a man who figured out a way for people to lead a life if they were poor and miserable and living in slavery and poverty, so that they would not be so miserable and so uncomfortable. He was not a god, never claimed to be, and really didn't even teach a religion. You see, Buddhism is not really a religion. It's a way of living one's life so that the misery of life is not overwhelming, does not oppress you and destroy you. And he came up with it while sitting for many, many days under a tree, thinking about life. He was not a bad man. He's not a god. He did not invent a religion. He came up with the way of living one's life, which now they call Buddhism, to take the suffering from the poor man's life. That's why I just hate to hear ignorant people condemn other people when they don't even know what they're talking about. It's amazing. Don't you think so? Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again, with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Proud to be an American, where in each I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you, and it can't hurt till today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.